With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. As always, a jam-packed show for you today. We got so many things that we can get into today. I want to talk about, you always hear the term, but we have to change the culture when it comes to a football program. I've got a couple of things here where about culture in programs and how changing it can be good, and how if you are at a program and things are correct, sometimes you have to change the way you do things just to stay ahead of the curve. And we'll talk about that in a moment. I've also got a great story here about the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. He opened up a new restaurant, and some of his famous quotes are part of it, which is anytime you can have a Steve Spurrier quote, it generally works. So we have that. In addition to your phone calls at 803-978-1832. By the way, I want to sign off on this really quick here. You know, everyone loves the NFL. I mean, I know there are people who are like, okay, Rob, I don't like the NFL. I get that, but the reality is that there's a couple of NFL preseason games tonight. You'll have, I think it's Washington playing on the road at Pittsburgh. In addition, or it's not at Pittsburgh, at New England. You'll also have another matchup, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia squaring off. You just heard at the top of the hour there from Fox Sports Radio that Justin Herbert, the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, or not the San Diego Chargers, Rob, man, you're showing your age. The Los Angeles Chargers is not going to play this weekend. Why? Because they're holding him out for, they don't want him to get hurt. I'm in the camp of the NFL. Everything about the NFL is, man, how can we possibly screw over the fans every little bit that we possibly can? If you are an NFL fan and you buy season tickets, they put those preseason games into your season tickets. This is one of those things where I look at it from this perspective. You're going to end up buying one of these preseason packages, or you don't buy the preseason package. You buy your season tickets, and the preseason's a part of it. The NFL, if they really want to be the league where, hey, they care about the fans, you've heard, you know, Roger Goodell basically imply the stuff about the shield, the NFL logo and all that, and how all that's important. You know what, Commissioner Goodell, you know what you could possibly do that would make life a lot better for a lot of folks? Don't let your franchises, now I understand you work for the owners, and I get that, but get together and say, you know what? All of these preseason games, none of the real players are playing. Your first couple of preseason games, you may end up seeing the starters play maybe one series. Now it's getting to a point where the stars are not playing. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play this weekend against the Houston Texans. I'm just saying, it's not going to happen. So what you have out there is technically the Green Bay Packers, but, and you can insert any team here, Packers, Panthers, whatever you want to go with. But the reality is that the players that are going to be out there, a lot of them are not going to be there the following week, maybe 2 weeks down the road. So in my opinion, you are putting out a false product. What you should do is those preseason games, give the tickets to Boys and Girls Club members around the country. That's the way that it should go. Give it to troops. You guys can come pick up a ticket wherever. Let them come in and watch and just have the experience, even though it's not quite an NFL game. Let them come in for that. The PR for that would be outstanding. Because what you have out there now is a load of hogwash. Shout out to Brent watching online. Appreciate you, sir. The reality is the stuff that we see there is just insane. And you're going to go and end up paying X amount of dollars for a ticket. And it just goes from there, man. It's insanely stupid what the preseason is for the NFL. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that for a moment. Brent asked me what's up with the Braves. The Braves are playing pretty good baseball right now. They play today at 5 o'clock against the Cincinnati Reds. They've already won that series. They are in tied for first place in the NL East, and they look like a team that's going to make the playoffs. Are they going to win the World Series? Probably not, but they are competitive. They're not a team that's terrible. So there you go with that. Anyway, the NFL, they can fix that. And that would be one of the ways to do it. I mean, seriously, it's insane when you really stop and think about it. All right, now, I want to talk about culture for a minute. You know, you always have the folks talking about, we got to change the culture of our program. The way things are right now, it's not working out. We got to change the way things are here. Let me give you a couple examples of culture and how culture can change and it can be good. And when it's good and the culture is right, then your football program can pay the dividends of it. Chris Rodriguez Jr., the running back for the Kentucky Wildcats, was on a podcast for Pro Football Focus, and he said the Wildcats used to have a few, quote, vampires on the team, but they're all gone now. What does he mean by vampires? He says it's changed a lot. When I first got here, you could tell everybody was clued in. Over the past few years, everybody has started to come together. At first, we had a lot of people that were doing it, but we had a lot of people we called vampires where they just sucked the blood out of the team. Like, they really don't want to practice. They don't care to be there. Even if they're not playing, like scout team guys, they're like, I don't like coming to practice. We don't do nothing. Now it's like everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to help make the team get better because everybody's trying to get to Atlanta. That's one of the main things I can really say about the culture around the Kentucky facility. Ladies and gentlemen, this running back for the University of Kentucky is talking about the culture in Lexington is not about basketball. No, no, no. They want to get to Atlanta, you know, where they play for the SEC title. That is what Coach Stoops has done at Kentucky. He has got these young men believing, we're supposed to be in Atlanta. That's what we're working towards. All this other stuff about, yeah, we have this and we have that. No, no, no. We are trying to make it to Atlanta because we play in the SEC and that's where they play their championship game and that's where we want to go. Now, from the outside looking in, I mean, let's be honest, there's a good section of people that say, you know what, with Kentucky, yeah, they're not really a program that's going to make it to Atlanta. Kentucky's never played for the SEC championship in Atlanta. They've never done that. But their coach, Coach Stoops, has them believing that they can do it. Yes, we're going to Atlanta. That's what we're trying to do. This young man believes it, and he says everyone around the program believes it. That is the culture that you want in your program. We're playing for championships. Now, let's look at another example. Lane Kiffin talked a little bit about Nick Saban and Alabama. He tells Colin Cowherd today that Nick Saban was the one behind the idea to change the way that Alabama plays football. What I mean by that is that Alabama used to be a team that they were going to beat you senseless defensively, and they were going to line up and run the ball at you, lots of play-action passes. They were going to do all kinds of stuff like that, running a pro-form offense, that kind of thing. Now they've spread themselves out. they've become accustomed to the times. Kiffin says, Saban gave me an opportunity. People want to give me credit for changing the offense there as a head coach, especially a head coach that is set in his ways, for him to want to change an offense, and it was his idea. I didn't come in saying this is what you should do. This is what I would want you to do. I want to change. I'm tired of people running these plays against us, and we don't have an answer for them. He said, just appreciative of the opportunity. Sometimes when you sit and listen for 3 years and learn from somebody, you can learn a lot. Now, this is someone that is under the tutelage of Nick Saban, but Nick Saban wants to do the things that Lane Kiffin specializes in as far as opening up the offense. That's why Nick Saban is the best coach in college football, because he has the ability to adapt to the way that things change and implement them within his program. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now, how do we tie this into South Carolina? You're hoping, if you're a Gamecock fan, that down on Bluff Road, right there at Williams-Brice Stadium, you've got the mentality of, hey, we want to have the same mentality that the folks at Kentucky have. We're trying to get to Atlanta. If you remember back in the glory days, that's what Steve Spurrier wanted. Yeah, we're trying to go to Atlanta. Beating Clemson's not the biggest thing in the world. Going to Atlanta is the biggest thing in the world. If you're a South Carolina fan, you should not care about that matchup with Clemson. It's all about winning the SEC title, because guess what? You hang a banner for that. You don't hang a banner for, hey, we won over Clemson X year. Same thing with Clemson with South Carolina. Yeah, winning the South Carolina game's great. Maybe it helps you a little bit in recruiting. Same way with South Carolina, too. Maybe that helps you just a little bit. And that's awesome. But the reality is, you are playing for a championship. If you're in with Clemson, you're playing to go to Charlotte. If you're South Carolina, you're playing to go to Clemson. You're hoping as a South Carolina, or not to Clemson, to Atlanta, excuse me. The big thing is, you are hoping that Shane Beamer is implementing that down at the Gamecocks camp. Everything should be focused on how to win a conference title, and then you go from there. That's just the way that things should be set up everywhere. But I thought I'd bring these to you today because these are some ideas and some different things that have come out here in the past couple of days about culture and how culture can be something that you can build off of, and it has to be correct. It really does. Some folks online, C-Dog says, I know all about a culture change. C-Dog is a Georgia Tech fan. They had to change their culture. Paul Johnson, I thought was a great football coach, but the offense that Paul Johnson ran was different. We interviewed one of the receivers that Paul Johnson had, and it was right after it was the season after Coach Johnson left, and he told us that it's completely different with what Coach Collins wants them to do, because under Coach Johnson's offense, the idea was to get downfield and block. Whereas under Coach Collins, hey, we want you to actually catch some balls. It's kind of the way, it's weird how things change. But when you have that kind of culture change, you have to change everything. Under that logic, going down and blocking is important, but you have to change the way you build your receivers. You have to change everything. That's why it's taken a little bit longer with programs like Georgia Tech, because they're having to change everything that they do. They're having to change the way they're doing things down at South Carolina. And that's why you see things like some of the stuff that came out from Brandon Marcello at 247 Sports and said, you know what? This year's South Carolina team could be worse than last year's South Carolina team. Then you wrap your head around that and you're like, my goodness, they finished 3-7. They were terrible. Were they terrible or were they poorly led? That's one of the things you have to think about here. Going into this set with South Carolina, you have to think of it from this perspective. And the Gamecocks are a rebuilding program. They really, really are. And with that, the rebuilding comes. There are certain things you have to do that are going to take time. There were areas of the offense that Will Muschamp didn't really pay attention to. One of them being the receivers. And I think that this year, for South Carolina to be good, they've got to figure out who's going to be their top receiver this year. Because we really don't know. We really don't know. But that's not really an area that you can make an argument that Will Muschamp really paid attention to or left them with, answers. On the defensive line, you've got talent there. The question is, and it's in other spots too, but with South Carolina, when you think about it, could they finish and look worse than they did last year, but be a better team? Maybe. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown, right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. C-Dog says, we had to change our offensive linemen too. The ones before were all small cut blockers. Yeah, he's talking about the offense with Georgia Tech. SEC Dog says, step one to a culture change, get rid of Muschamp and Paul Johnson. You know, I liked Coach Johnson. I thought Coach Johnson was great. So there you go with that. Tom says Kevin Harris was ranked by the 16th best returning starter in the SEC by Connor O'Gara at Saturday Down South. Yeah, that might be true. Hold on 1 second. Let's go to the phones. And good afternoon. Welcome to The Rundown.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up?
I don't think there's any dispute that Muschamp left a mess to be cleaned up.
Right.
By Beamer, and it's going to take more than a couple of years.
Well, but I mean, I think people are under the adage of, hey, you know, you've got to win now. People look at, like, an example is North Carolina. Larry Fedora kind of left them in shambles, and Mack Brown came in and made them competitive last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they still had some pieces with Larry Fedora. I mean, Will Muschamp, I mean, he switched offensive coordinators, what, 3 times?
Yes, sir, he did.
They just never had an identity of what they wanted to do. And then last year, it was
across the board with Muschamp. His offense has never finished better than 8th in the SEC any year that he was a head coach. He did not have the ability to adapt at all.
No, and last year they were running with a fullback and tight ends, and schools just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but we were kind of fed the idea of, hey, if they – maybe they're doing this and it's kind of a throwback and nobody – maybe the defenses haven't seen that in a while, and they won't know how to defend it. You know, there's that too.
You know, like you said about Saban. Saban saw stuff coming, and he changed.
Right.
You know, Saban was run the ball, play defense.
Right.
And now Saban is air it out, and we'll still play some defense.
Right. Well, Saban's on the record as saying, "Hey, you know, the idea of you could just come out and play good defense, and then you're going to win a lot of games." That's not the way it is anymore. I mean, what was it, the 9-6 game with LSU where, I mean, it was just a defensive slugfest?
Yeah.
You're not going to have games like that anymore. It's just not going to happen.
And do you think the guy in the coach at Georgia Tech is in any kind of trouble right now? I mean, he inherited
a lot of
problems.
I think that Coach Collins at Georgia Tech, now this is just my perspective. I think Coach Collins at Georgia Tech has a monumental amount of work to do as far as the rebuilding goes. He's going into his third season there. I think this season, if they don't finish with a 500 record, I think it's going to be tough for him to keep selling, hey, we're building, we're building, we're building. They need to have a little bit more results on the field. I thought they were going to do it last year. They went in and beat Florida State on the road, and people were like, maybe they're making the turn here. Maybe they're making the turn here a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they didn't really finish out well. So
no.
I think that I don't think he's in trouble, but I do think it's a time where it's like, you know what? We need to turn a little bit here. We need to have a 6-win season and the Yellow Jackets going to a bowl game. I think that's kind of what they're expecting down there.
You know, I talked with a lot of Carolina fans, and they still think they're going 6-6 this year. And
you look at the schedule, though, you can make an outside argument for that because of a couple of things. South Carolina has a pretty good running back room, and I like their defensive line. I really, really do. Now, on the other hand, it's hard for me to sit back and say, you know what, I don't think they're going to have issues with Eastern Illinois. It's hard for me to say, you know what, they're going to go to East Carolina and lose. I just don't see that, you know.
But, I think that they could go to East Carolina and the secondary play terrible and they lose.
Yeah, but I just
– get a couple of turnovers, and then if you lose that game, your season is looking pretty bad.
Right. Well, and it's Shane Beamer's first year as a head coach, too. How does he deal with some adversity? Like, hey, we go on the road to East Carolina, we lose a game 42-40 on a late INT or something like that, you know? How does he rally the team from that? Because guess what? The schedule after East Carolina is hard. You got some tough games on there, and, you know, if you're going to have any shot of winning a bowl game, you got to win that game early.
Yeah. You know, Shane Beamer's first year being a coach, we'll see, how he does respond to it.
If they do go to a bowl game, though, I mean, think of the confidence that that team can have. If they go 6-6 and they have the capability of going to some kind of a bowl game, that the best part about that is that he's going to get, it's like 12 extra practices. So you can keep building on what you've already done, and you get the tape from the bowl game, too. So if you're a Gamecock fan, that's what I would hope would be best case scenario, is for that to happen this year so that you can build on that.
If you're a Gamecock fan, shouldn't you be happy going 7-8 wins a season? Because they're not even that team.
I think I don't like the mentality of, hey, you know what? You're an 8-win team. You're always going to be an 8-win team. I don't buy into that, because under that logic, that's what Clemson was before 2014. Or 2010 or whatever it was.
They were,
And, hey, you just go be an 8-win team, Clemson. You do that. But then Clemson aspired to be more. And then now they have 2 national titles, you know, in the past 5 years. So the idea of, hey, you just go be that 8-win team is silly. If people thought that way, Georgia, hey, you won a national title in 1980 and you're not anything else after that as far as winning national champions. I mean, I just don't buy all that. And with South Carolina, they've got all of the tools that I think that you need to be successful. They just got to have somebody that's going to lead the troops and is going to do the footwork on recruiting and everything else. And you need some breaks, too. And that's with any program. If they get all of that, then they may have
enough. South Carolina's never had that.
Right. Well, they've never had the breaks.
I mean, even with Spurrier, they didn't get the break when they went 11-2. They didn't win the East.
Right. That was the year that it's like Spurrier had issues with a timeout or whatever in Tennessee.
Yeah.
They should have won that game.
And gone and played for the SEC. Yeah, it seemed like they never could get that break. I remember Joe Morse. Didn't he lose to Navy?
Yeah.
When they were undefeated?
Yep. And I mean,
just never been able to get that break.
Little things like that, man. It's You got to step away from it and think, you know what? You got to be like what the Kentucky running back says. We're trying to get to Atlanta. Everything should be focused on that for South Carolina. And you know, you're building this season, so hey, eventually we can get to Atlanta.
Yeah, well, you know, Dabo got that break with that 4th-and-16 against LSU.
Well, also, Dabo Swinney got a break with certain players coming to Clemson. That ended up helping out the program, like a C.J. Spiller.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry,
sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And oh, guys that could bring, you know, get that, hey, this is what Clemson has out there. And with that, he was able to build off of that and then go from there. So, yeah, I mean, those are the kind of breaks that that's
the ball has got to bounce your way sometimes. Yeah,
even on the recruiting trail, I mean, that's kind of the big part of it too. You know, South Carolina, they had the Clowney years and all of that. If they would have kept building on top of that, then obviously things would have been different. But you know, Spurrier was at the end of his career anyway. So
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. You have a great day. And, of course, you can call at 803-978-1832. Some comments here. Blake says, yeah, the extra bowl practice. Tom says 16th is low for SEC's leading rusher. Still baffles me the level that he has slept on. You know, let's talk about that for a moment. The love for Kevin Harris outside of this program is at kind of a low, in my opinion. I don't understand what Kevin Harris has to do to be more nationally respected. Yeah, there's folks that are going to tell you, okay, he is he's a top 15 running back, you know, whatever. What does he have to do? Look, not to be disrespectful to the offensive line for South Carolina last year, but it's not like he was running behind Alabama's offensive line and he led the conference in rushing, beating a lot of other guys that Najee Harris is the guy that'll be playing on Sundays this year. So what does Kevin Harris have to do to be respected on that front down the road? You know, the idea is, hey, go out and do it again. Now, it may be harder for Kevin Harris this year to replicate the season that he had last year because the guys behind him, Marshawn Lloyd's going to take carries from him. He's not going to have to be the guy that goes out there and carries the ball a crazy amount of times. So that may be part of it. But the idea of, his yards may go down as far as total yards. But to make an implication that Kevin Harris isn't one of the best backs in the SEC is kind of silly and kind of ignorant. I mean, it really, really is. He averaged 6.2 yards a carry, 1,138 yards overall. That, in a 10-game schedule, that averages out to, you know, over almost 100 yards a game. And there were no, I don't like using, oh, it was an all-conference schedule, but it's not like he beefed up playing against, you know, an FCS opponent. There were all Power 5 schools that he ran against. And he led the conference. So folks should be a little more understanding with, hey, maybe he's pretty good. Now, the SEC media out there, these are the folks that still chant SEC, SEC. They're going to tell you, well, Tank Bigsby's probably a better running back. Is he? Is he really? Seriously. The entire offense last season was Kevin Harris for South Carolina. The three wins that they got without Kevin Harris, they may have only won one game. Just saying. He should be respected more around the country, and I think it's because my eyes are open to him here. I work with our best Gamecock coverage across the hall, and we dive deep into every South Carolina game, and you see what Kevin Harris was to that team. And to just say, oh, well, if you want to have an argument that he's not the best back in the SEC, I can buy into that. But some people are like, yeah, he had a lot of yards against one opponent here or there, but he's not that great. That's silly. Trust me, Shane Beamer is going to use Kevin Harris is probably the focal point of his offense down there. And if the Gamecocks are going to be successful, a lot of it's going to be on what Kevin Harris does. Some comments here. SEC Dog says, Tank Bigsby will get yards because Mike Bobo is at Auburn now and Bo Nix is awful. Yeah, I can buy into that too. But if I remember correctly, Bigsby had issues staying on the field last year too. So we'll see how that works out. Tom says Bigsby went to Auburn because he knew he'd sit behind Harris and Lloyd, but nobody wants to talk about that. Jerome says Bobo is worth negative 10 points. I believe that you're correct, sir. Brandon says he thinks Zakondre White will get some carries this year. Yes, Zakondre White had a heck of a spring game. And it's nice to have three backs. Now, I'm not saying Zakondre White is going to be an every down back. Kevin Harris is your every down back. Marshawn Lloyd has the potential to be an every down back. But South Carolina can run three running backs at you. They really can. And be confident about what they're going to get. Not very many teams in the SEC, I believe, could say that. Now, obviously, we got to see if it all tapers out here at this season. So we'll see how things go. Tom says EJ Jenkins will emerge as a top 10 SEC wide receiver. Well, let's slow our roll just a little bit, sir. EJ Jenkins is 6'7". That's a big guy. Anyway, quick break. When we come back, we'll have more for you here on The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. You know, I forgot to mention this story earlier. Caron Prunty, the Kansas defensive back that was a freshman All-American, according to the state newspaper and several other sources, has decided to enter the transfer portal. A spokesman for South Carolina confirmed to the state today, Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports, first reporting it. But Prunty, picking him up, looked like it was going to be a big deal for South Carolina because Shane Beamer was getting a guy that was a freshman All-American. Now, I understand he played at Kansas, and the only thing that comes out of Kansas is sunflowers. Yeah, I know. But the reality is, he was pretty good. Prunty did say, "They just want me out here locking people down," basically, he said during his media day last week. "They want me taking half the field away. That's mainly what everybody is wanting me to do." That's what he said last week. So, with that, though, he leaves South Carolina. And what does that mean for the Gamecocks? Well, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Cam Smith, the young man from Westwood. He's now going to be your number one defensive back. And this is an area that, you know, Will Muschamp didn't really leave in a good spot. Not really. According to the state, Georgia Southern transfer David Spalding ran with the number one defense along Georgia Military College import Marcellus Dial at nickel. Carlin's Platel ran at nickel with the number two defense during Tuesday's portion of during Tuesday's session. So they're already moving on without him. But you know what, though, with the transfer portal, and I kind of believe this, it's going to affect a lot of programs. Folks are over here talking about some Georgia fans watching the show over here and saying, you know what? With Georgia, they have five running backs that could start anywhere in the country. The reality is, things aren't going to be like that anymore. There's a whole thing where people oversign and you end up with too much talent here, etc. Guys have the capability now that they can move on. And that's just the way that it is. The idea of having a monumental amount of depth, that's gone. That's absolutely gone. So, with South Carolina, though, I don't know exactly what happened with Corona, with Prunty, but Shane Beamer's handled it the right way. You just got to move on. Someone said online, maybe the South Carolina Heat. Okay. We'll have to see how that works. Have to see how that works all together. But you know what, though? I firmly believe in this. And I love professional wrestling. I'm going to put a professional wrestling reference out there. Vince McMahon, the head of WWE, you know, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, that guy, he has this mentality of, if you don't want to be here, then I don't want you here. I don't want you to be a cancer in my locker room. Now, I'm not saying that Prunty would have been a cancer in the locker room for South Carolina. Please do not send me hate tweets at Rob Sounds Good, because it's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if you don't want to be somewhere, you are going to have, you're going to have that resting face of, I don't want to be here. And with that, you're going to end up going. Tom with a great comment. Bret Hart would enter the transfer portal. You know, back in the days of the Monday Night Wars, guys had the capability to go somewhere else. Maybe that's kind of the way it is now with the whole WWE, AEW situation. You can go from one end to the other and, you know, go in between promotions if you don't like the way certain things are going. Think of it on a much, much bigger scale with college football. If you are a player that has talent and you go somewhere and you don't like the way things go, you can go somewhere else. In fact, if you really wanted to, if you thought there was an availability for you to play, you could go right down the street. If Clemson had the need in the secondary and Prunty decided, hey, I'd like to go to Clemson, he could go. He can go anywhere he wants to go. Just saying. It's interesting. Interesting the way that things work out like that. Edwin online, I got to look this up. He said the Auburn starting defensive tackle entered the transfer portal as well. That's why being a coach right now in college football is hard.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's hard because, in addition to convincing young men to come there, you have to convince young men to stay. If you're a running back, there's only going to be so many carries. We can only have one quarterback. We can only have, you know, so many snaps for linemen and wide receivers and everything else. If you're a guy that comes in and you're highly touted, but another guy beats you out, you can move on now. And that's what makes coaching harder nowadays, in my opinion. Let's see here. Blake says, I'm surprised we don't see more Auburn fans. That's true. RMF Todd says, at the big schools, if you're not making a contribution by your sophomore year, you need to transfer. By that time, you've been recruited over. Yes, I agree with you on that. And so, you know, and a lot of these coaches, man, they want you to stay. But in the end, if you're their fourth stringer, you're not really figured into the mix. Jimmy says, if I made a commitment to a school, my dad would kick my butt if I wimped out because someone else beat me out. Yeah, but your dad probably wants to see you play. I mean, and that's just true, too. And things may change, too. If you go somewhere and the offensive coordinator changes and they go from running an offense where, hey, we're going to give the running back the ball all the time to, hey, we're not. We're going to throw lots of wide receiver outs and things like that and cut away from the running game, yeah, why wouldn't you change? But college football coaching right now is tough, man. It's hard. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Randall says, I should remember the names Ty Davis, Price, and John Emery. Okay. I'll write those down, sir. I will write those down. Tom says I should go to the Fireflies game tonight. Yeah, the Fireflies are playing tonight. John Kosis, the voice of the Fireflies, will be on with us tomorrow. All right, quick break, and we come back. We'll have more for you here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app, I'm Rob Sanders. Out to the phones we go. Welcome in Bobby from KC. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, the defensive tackle's name was Auburn. Was Tyrone Truesdale.
Yeah, Tyrone Truesdale. Yeah, he's decided to move on.
He decided to move on, so Harsin didn't explain it. And he just said he's no longer with the team. But also, Florida lost a starting cornerback today with a torn ACL.
Mizzou also had a young man that was medically couldn't play. So yeah, this starting to show up a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't look where on the 2D depth chart out of Athlon's where he was at. I got all the magazines. I didn't really look on that one, but I saw that Mullen had put on a statement, and a lot of people had started to put it out, like the whole thing with Pronsy here at South Carolina. So I looked at it, and I went through my magazines, and and Lindy's and Atlon's had them. So Florida's missing somebody big in the secondary, but they have depth. So
I'm see how that works out for them, but
well,
it's sad to see young men having to find a new spot to play where we're, 3 weeks out?
Well, that's injuries one thing, but also transferring. Like in Prunty's case, if he was homesick, he had to go back to Virginia. I mean, it's kind of what you said. I don't like Vince McMahon, but you don't want to be here, then you're only part of the team, and it's better not even just move on. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, man. It should be cool.
Also, one note about baseball. Was it Arrieta got waived by the Cubs?
Yeah. Won the Cy Young. Now he's looking for a job.
Yeah. I didn't look up all his numbers. I didn't even know he's a Cy Young guy, award winner. I don't really follow them because I kind of like other teams in the NL. And so, yeah, they outright waived him today. So anybody that's a baseball fan that listens this late to your show, pump out a little information. Also, the Yankees, was it Rizzo? Also, he's in COVID protocol or something, so he's no longer on the – well, he's on the team, but
– yeah, we'll have to see how that works out.
You see how that works. When Yankees need good pitching for the stretch drive, they got plenty of hitting. They're losing pitching. That's not good for us Yankee fans.
All right, man. Good luck to you, brother.
Yeah, all right.
There you go. Bobby and KC joining us here on The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400, of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. As always, thank you for joining us here today. You can find me on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. Would love to chat with you there. And of course, you can also find us on the podcast, which is up at about 5 o'clock this afternoon. So be sure to check out the podcast and we'll go from there. All right. So if you want to call up and talk about the young man leaving, do you think South Carolina should dip and go and maybe possibly get the defensive tackle Truesdale that left Auburn? Who knows at this point, man? I wonder if by this time, if it's really a good idea to leave. Just saying. Baylor Man Online says, we'll learn about this season's South Carolina team when they go on the road to Greenville week two. If they lose that game, it'll be a long season. You know, not to look too far ahead with that ECU game, but East Carolina does have some offense. They throw the ball up and down the field a little bit. I'm not saying that that they're going to be it's like a track meet type thing with them, but their defense is suspect. You would think that guys like Kevin Harris and Luke Doty and stuff like that are going to be able to run the ball on them, in theory. But we don't know for sure. We do know with what they've got returning, they're expecting to be pretty good on offense. Now they play in the American. Is that going to be, are they going to have the talent and the depth to stay with South Carolina? because I've seen some offensive rankings for the Gamecocks, and like as far as an offensive unit, they've got the Gamecocks ranked barely above Vanderbilt. So we'll see about that. Brandon says, Delp, the big tight end, releases his top four at 9-7. Do you think the Gamecocks make the cut? I don't know. You know, the whole recruiting thing is hard for me to keep track of because a lot of times with recruits, you don't – I mean, they're 16, 17-year-old guys. When I was 16, 17 years old, I couldn't tell you what I was going to eat for lunch the next day, and I may change my mind. I don't know. So it's kind of hard for me to get wrapped up into, hey, what's this guy doing for as far as recruiting goes, because I honestly don't know. I think that if he's visited South Carolina, he may be in the mix, because I think Shane Beamer does a good job with all that, putting it together as far as, hey, you come here, we have the capability to win. Allen says Truesdale is going to go to a Division II school. We'll see. We shall see. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown. Blake's upset because I was talking about Mississippi State and the way their season ended. Look, they may have been going out to get the trophy, whatever. All I know is that the optic that we had, and I was standing here when the game ended, in this very spot, you had guys fighting on the field, and Coach Leach is taking selfies in the stands with people. Just saying. Then they go into the locker room, and these guys are bragging about how they were fighting. It's not really the look you want for your program. It's not what you want. Anyway, tomorrow on the program, a little sports betting tomorrow. Sean Green from the Sports Betting Podcast joins us, talks about everything from who's the best line to win the – who's got the best track to win the Heisman Trophy and some long shots to win the national title. All of that tomorrow we'll have for you here on the Rundown, in addition to an interview with John Kosis, the voice of the Columbia Fireflies, as – you know, here in Columbia, it's great to have some baseball. So we'll talk a little baseball with him tomorrow and several other things that we'll have in the mix. Looking forward to the Rundown for tomorrow. By the way, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk is next. He is, of course, the czar of Clemson Sports.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
You can find him on Twitter at Clemson Sports. And you can follow his show. He will be set up for you here. As I go off the air right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, you can find him on the iHeartRadio app and at ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Just because it says Clemson Sports Talk on the marquee doesn't mean that it's just Clemson. It's all kinds of stuff with Lawton's show. Podcast will be up at 5 o'clock this afternoon if you want to check that out. Listen whenever you want via the iHeart app as well. All right, as I said, tomorrow, really jacked up about that. We're getting closer and closer to football season. Be sure to check out the blog page, because I've got coaches' comments and all of that stuff up on the blog page at foxsportsradio1400.com. You can check it out there. And, you know, all the comments from coaches as they come off the field, all of that generally we have up on the blog page. Looking forward to watching the Braves game this afternoon. They play at 5:10 against the Cincinnati Reds. A little afternoon baseball. Nothing wrong with that. The Braves moved into first place in the East. Remember, they were like five games under, and people are looking at them. They lost Ronald Acuna Jr., and they've kind of mended the fences. Got to give credit to their manager. Not Snicker, their Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah, give that guy some credit. He's really rallied the troops. All right, more of the Rundown tomorrow. We'll see you then on Fox Sports Radio 1400.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.